Well, today's the last installment of this series that we've been in for the season of Lent that we've called The Road to the Cross. And we've been looking at a section in the heart of Mark's Gospel. Remember that Jesus took his disciples to a place called Caesarea Philippi. He asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter spoke up, "You are the Christ." And from that point on, says Mark, Jesus began to teach them things he had never taught them before. And he repeats it three times in this section. Three different places he said, "I am going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be rejected by the religious authorities there. I will be killed and in 3 days rise." And then in each one of those places, Jesus took the opportunity to teach about his upside-down kingdom and the meaning of discipleship, that you also must take up your cross, die to yourself, and the first will be the last, and whoever would be greatest must be the servant of all. And you may remember that we started this series right before Caesarea Philippi. The blind man at Bethsaida was given his sight. Just nod your head. Yes, you remember that, don't you? Thank you. And today, we're coming to the end of that section. It's right before the triumphal entry that we'll look at next week. Blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. So Mark, this whole section of the meaning of discipleship is bookended with blind men receiving their sight. Mark is about as subtle as a sledgehammer. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to see who he really is. Not the Jesus of our imagination, but Lord, open our eyes that we will see you. So I'm actually going to read a little bit more than what it says in the bulletin. This is Mark chapter 10, and I'm actually going to begin with verse 35 and the request of James and John, and then it goes right into blind Bartimaeus. Hear now the word of God. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but for those to whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers among the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed Jesus on the way. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. That was a long text, but this incident with James and John, there's a reason that it's back to back with blind Bartimaeus being given his sight. James and John come to Jesus with a request, and Jesus, do for us whatever we ask of you. My son would do that when he was 7. Dad, just make up your mind now. You're going to say yes, okay? That's a strange way to approach Jesus, and perhaps we've all done it. We come to Jesus. "Jesus, I love you. Give me what I most want." And amazingly, Jesus asks them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left," the Zebedee brothers, it'll be cool, "in your glory." In other words, give us, when you come into your glory, we know that you're going to Jerusalem to set up your glorious kingdom, and we're going to reign, and the Zebedee brothers will be right there at your right and left. Now remember, Jesus has 3 times explicitly told his disciples he's going to Jerusalem to be rejected by the religious authorities, to be killed, and in 3 days rise. And they are blinded to that. They are so determined that their vision of glory is what's going to happen, that they're blinded to what Jesus has been telling them. The other disciples heard the request of James and John and were indignant. They are not indignant because James and John so badly misunderstood Jesus. They're indignant because they want the positions of honor and are upset that they see James and John jockeying for these positions. So Jesus pulls them all aside to teach. "You know how those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them." In other words, in this human world and its rebellion against God, the way authority works, well, you know the golden rule of the world. Them that have the gold make the rules. Those in authority lord it over. In other words, use power coercively to make others do what you want them to do. Jesus said, "It shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give away his life, a ransom for many." Power and influence in the kingdom of God is not going to be about lording it over. His way is the way of humility and service, and Jesus himself shows the way. We are so influenced. And from the time we're very small, we are so influenced by the ways of this world and the way that power works in the world that we have a hard time even imagining that there could be what is Jesus talking about, this way that is so radically different, but exponentially more powerful than what the world calls power. When I was a young boy, I was always interested in the news. And I had a paper out when I was a kid, and some days the paper was delivered a little late because the paper boy was reading the paper. And when I was a boy, like any child, I had a childish view of the world. I remember thinking about various problems that I read about and challenges in the world that I read about in the newspaper. And in my boyish mind, they all had very simple and easy solutions. And what the world needed was somebody in power, like me, to just tell everybody what to do. And then they would all fall in line, and it all seemed so easy. Now that, of course, was a very childish and immature view of the world. But how often do we carry that into adulthood? We think, how soon would the world live in harmony if only our world, our nation, my church, my family, my homeowners association would only bend to my will? We think that lording it over them would work if only the right people were doing the lording it over. Jesus would tell us that's the blind leading the blind. James and John, bless them, are examples of how not to be disciples of Jesus. The poor disciples of Jesus, they had no idea that they were going to be examples of tomfoolery for thousands of years. They are examples of how not to be disciples of Jesus. But isn't it interesting how often in the Gospels it's someone on the margins, not the insiders, but someone completely on the margins, like a blind beggar, shows us what a disciple is and does. And Mark holds up blind Bartimaeus to us like a flashing light out of the page of the gospel, saying, be like Bart. Don't be like James and John. Be like Bartimaeus. Well, Jericho was the last stop on the road to Jerusalem. Jericho lies 840 feet below sea level. From Jericho, it was about 20 miles. They had about a 20-mile walk ahead of them to get from Jericho to Jerusalem, and a climb of about 3,500 feet. In fact, there's a whole section of the book of Psalms called the Psalms of Ascent, going up, climbing up. And it's the Psalms that were sung as pilgrims made their way up the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. And as they passed through Jericho, they passed by Bartimaeus, who, Mark tells us, was a blind beggar sitting by the roadside. And literally, the Greek says, sitting by the way. Now, the way, that phrase, the way, in Mark's gospel is code for discipleship. He's sitting by the way. He's not on it yet, but he's there. Bartimaeus is a blind beggar. He has absolutely no social power or status. His blindness makes him a nobody. He is completely dependent. He has no independent power. He is completely dependent on the generosity of pilgrims. He had a good spot, a choice spot, because pilgrims making their way up to Jerusalem would pass by there and have generosity on their mind because they're going to Jerusalem to worship and maybe throw something in Bartimaeus's cup. James and John dreamt of status and influence. Bartimaeus has none of either, and ironically, that makes him a candidate to be a disciple of Jesus. And somebody tells him Jesus is passing by. And so he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Son of David, remember, is a messianic title. For centuries, the Jews had held on to the promise that there would be a king, a Messiah king of the line of David, who would reign on David's throne forever. So when Bartimaeus says, "Son of David," he's making a bold statement, an affirmation of the authority of Jesus. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Brothers and sisters, remember, Bart, we're going to call him, is our model disciple, the first step of discipleship. The first step of following Jesus is always a cry for mercy. It's not, "Jesus, let me help you out. You can use a person like me." No, "Have mercy on me." The gospel is about total help for total need. If you're still clinging to your own power and status, you cannot follow Jesus. If you're still clinging to your own sense of your own goodness, you cannot follow Jesus. If you're still clinging to your sense of your own righteousness, you cannot follow Jesus. Until you acknowledge that you're a blind beggar and you are totally helpless, you cannot follow Jesus. Be like Bart. The first step to following Jesus is to cry out, to acknowledge his authority, and say, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Step two, do not care what other people think. Mark says that the crowd rebuked Bartimaeus, told him, "Be silent." But he cried out all the more. Be like Bart. He cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowd of this world will always try to prevent you from coming to Jesus. Ignore them. Nothing can silence Bartimaeus. Opposition only seems to fuel the fire of his urgency. The kingdom of God, brothers and sisters, is not for the well-meaning and the polite. It's for the desperate. Cry out to him. "Have mercy on me." Bartimaeus is desperate for Jesus, and his desperation is the doorway to faith. Do not care what other people think. And Mark says, verse 49, and Jesus stopped. Aren't those wonderful words? Jesus stopped. The Greek literally says, Jesus stood still. How wonderful that the Son of God, the heir to David's throne, is stopped in his tracks by the cry of a blind beggar. And right down to this day, to this moment, anyone who cries out to Jesus from their heart, he stops. That's a wonderful truth about Jesus. He hears, and he stops. It's a wonderful truth about Jesus, and it's a great challenge to us. I read an article just the other day by a guy named Preston Sprinkle. He's a nationally known theologian. Christian writer. He happens to live right here in Boise. But he was writing about why millennials, in other words, 20-somethings, why are millennials leaving the church in droves? And they are. And he had a very, the most powerful line in his whole article. He said, if you want to reach people of the millennial generation, Your ears and your heart need to be 10 times bigger than your mouth. Your ears and your heart, 10 times bigger than your mouth. Jesus had big ears and a bigger heart. He heard Bartimaeus and he stopped. And Jesus said, call him. So they said, he's calling you. The word call appears 3 times in one verse. Biblical underlining. Jesus said, call him. They said, he's calling you. Bartimaeus got up, tossed aside his cloak, and went to Jesus. Now, Bartimaeus can't see Jesus. How does he know where to go? He goes to the sound of his voice. And right down to this day, if you want to come to Jesus, you can't see him. We can't see him, can we? Come to the sound of his voice. You will meet him in his word. He still speaks in this book as in no other way. Come to the sound of his voice. Jesus said to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? That's exactly the same question that he asked James and John. What do you want me to do for you? Now, wait a minute. Wasn't it obvious? He's blind. Why is Jesus asking, what do you want me to do for you? Now, remember, James and John asked for extraordinary glory. Bartimaeus is going to ask for ordinary sight. And I believe Jesus asks the question, what do you want me to do? Because Bartimaeus is not a problem to be solved. He is a person to be engaged. He's a person to be redeemed, not a problem to be fixed. And Bartimaeus said simply, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. He doesn't ask for wealth or power or prestige or success. He certainly doesn't ask for a place of influence at Jesus' right or left. Again, be like Bart. Jesus, give me eyes to see. Give me eyes to see you. Give me eyes to see what really matters to you. Give me eyes to see other people and really see them. Not as pawns for me to lord it over, but as precious individuals for whom you died. Give me eyes to see what you're doing in the world so that I can be a part of it. So Jesus said to Bartimaeus, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And Mark adds then, immediately he recovered his sight and followed Jesus on the way. He began by the way. Now he's on the way. Be like Bart. Faith that does not lead to following is not saving faith. Merely acknowledging the existence of Jesus, merely acknowledging who he is not saving faith. Saving faith goes on the way with Jesus. I think that when Bartimaeus started following Jesus, it was pretty easy. I mean, it was an uphill climb, but if Jesus was out in front, wouldn't you go anywhere that he went? But very soon, the newly sighted Bartimaeus would see the crown of thorns pressed down on Jesus' head. He would see the nails driven into his hands. He would see his back bloodied and flayed with a whip. And he would see him hoisted up on a cross. And I wonder if Bartimaeus said, Lord, you gave me sight, you gave me eyes to see this. But the eyes of faith seeing the cross, and I'm sure Bartimaeus did too. By the way, did you know that Bartimaeus is the only recipient of a healing in all four Gospels? He's the only one who is named. And I think that's because people in the early church said, oh yeah, Bartimaeus, we know him. He kept following. Bartimaeus asked for sight, and I'm sure that in time he saw the cross of Jesus is the only hope for this blinded world. By the power of the cross of Jesus, God has begun the great work of redeeming all creation and making all things new. You may know about the great hymn writer Fanny Crosby. She wrote beloved hymns, To God Be the Glory, Blessed Assurance, Jesus Is Mine, Oh What a Foretaste of Glory Divine. She was completely blind. And when she was asked if she was troubled that God had not healed her, she always responded the same way. She said, God could have done nothing better for me than give me blindness. Because by my blindness, he has shut me in with himself. And I have seen more of the love of Jesus than I would ever have known if I had physical sight. That's discipleship. Bend your knee to Jesus. Cry out to him for mercy. Ask him to give you eyes to see, and then follow where he leads. Be like Bart. Amen? Amen. Let's bow together for prayer. Lord Jesus, we are so blinded by this world. Our eyes are dazzled by falsehoods and artificial saviors. Open our eyes. Give us eyes to see who you really are, Lord Jesus. And to see that your way of righting this broken world has power, infinite power, beyond the way of this world and the way of lording it over others. May we see you, Jesus, and the power of what you did on the cross, the transforming power that reaches into our lives and makes us new. And may we see to walk in your way. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.